Hey, this is Cycle Breaker Juliana, bringing you conversations and thoughts on how to break cycles and patterns and false beliefs and false programming that are holding you back in your life. To instill belief that you are powerful and that you are capable, you can heal and stand in your own power, advocate for yourself, for truth, and for others. Welcome. Hey, Cycle Breakers, this is Juliana Sauber coming to you live on a Monday morning. Oh, so good. So good. How are you today? You ready to break some cycles? You're ready to make some changes? I want to talk to you about the mechanism of illness. It's going to be surprising. Are you ready for it? See, we like to speak in terms of diagnosis. It's how we've been trained. That's how we've been patterned. Follow diagnosis. But really, a diagnosis is nothing more than an insurance billing code. It doesn't really mean anything. You don't get from a diagnosis how you heal your body. You don't get from a diagnosis where your illness came from. You don't get that at all, right? A diagnosis is just a word. It doesn't invoke a pattern of, okay, so I've got this diagnosis. I'm allergic to cat dander. Okay, we say I'm allergic to cats. Okay, why? Where did it come from? What triggers that allergy? What is at the root of me sneezing when I'm around a cat? Really, the symptoms are a type of language. They're a communication from the body. The body going, hey, 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 I've got a need. I have a need. You ready? I have a need. I need you to pay attention to me that I have an imbalance. I have something going on that needs your attention. Oftentimes, this communication details of a physical response to a behavioral or a relational or an inner conflict, something along those lines. But considering the actual situation is what symptoms are all about. What is the actual situation? The actual situation of an allergy to cats is, okay, if I get around a cat, I start sneezing. My eyes run, they might swell shut, I have a little trouble breathing. The deeper piece of that is a vagus nerve response to stress. The deeper piece of that is the stress is when I was 3 years old, I witnessed something and there was a cat in the room. So the deeper piece of that is, what did I witness? What emotions did I experience? What trauma energy was then embedded in my energy system so that now, and it was embedded in the subconscious level because the subconscious doesn't know time or space. Your subconscious doesn't know if it was, I don't know, February 7th, 1982, or if it's today in this moment. Your subconscious doesn't know the difference. It just knows, oh, cat equates to trauma. Have an energetic response, have an emotional response, have a physical response. That is the linkage. When we get in depth in the psychology and the inner conflict of symptoms, we can connect conditions with entanglements. We can connect conditions with the trauma, the emotions, the physical and the mental and the emotional. When we look at patterns and loops of behavior, we can then also connect it to the emotional trauma. So every day when I drive to work, I go get a donut. Somebody teaches me, I learn, and now I know that donuts are not my best choice. So then I need to what? Stop eating the donut. But every day when I drive by that gas station, I still stop and get that donut. Even though I know consciously the donut's not a good idea, the subconscious program steps in and takes over, and I still stop and get the donut. even though I know a certain type of man is not good for me in my life, I still choose that type of man. Keep looping those patterns. Even though I know that I've shopped myself to the point where I have $50,000 in credit card debt and I don't need to buy any more stuff because I have a room full of clothing, I keep shopping because the subconscious loop keeps coming up. That emotional trauma keeps coming up and showing itself. And it shows up in what we define as healthy behaviors as well. I love people that are physically, moving their bodies and doing awesome things and things that they love. I've also witnessed where it becomes an addictive behavior. They need it, they crave it, it fulfills something in them to the point where they will push themselves well beyond what is physically and stress-wise good for them. Because they needed it. It feeds a behavior. It feeds a subconscious need. What you resist persists, Carl Jung. What you resist persists. So you can fight against it all you want, but the reality is it's still going to be there until you dig it up and you solve it. So as I have worked with clients and developed sort of this process I call the ease and flow energy system, it has this awesome connection to the from the conscious to the super conscious. Okay, so between the conscious and the super conscious, we have all these rocks of static, all of these traumas and emotions and experiences and things we didn't deal with. And ancestral inheritance and things that we've picked up along the way. We have all these rocks. And if you think about it as a stream that is dammed up with all these rocks, it's hard for that water to flow. It has to find little cracks and crevices. And each day is this, it feels like an uphill slog. It feels like, oh, you just drag yourself out of bed. Oh, I gotta do this again. And you move into the same patterns and you have the same triggers and the same responses and the same physical situations over and over again. And in fact, they begin to accumulate. They get stronger, there's more of them. And so, what we do in the ease and flow energy process is we move the rocks out of the way. We find the rock, right? And we deal with it, we move it out of the way. And really, what we're transmuting in your body is we're transmuting from the emotions that are less than love to the emotions that are love. So we find an emotion, right? So disappointment. Disappointment in yourself, disappointment in your parents, disappointment in your children, whatever the disappointment is less than love. If you were to go and look online for the power versus force chart, it's like a cone, and things like shame are very low. Frequency. So if you think about it in terms of a pitcher, that pitcher is very low in water, but love is the full pitcher. And then beyond that is the pitcher where we get to overflow and help, get and share that amazingness with others. So in between the conscious and the super conscious, between the ego and the soul, the spirit, is this center point with all these rocks in it. So the ease and flow energy process has this awesome toolkit of things that we use, and we find those big rocks, and then we break those rocks up. We move them out of the way. We transmute them into love. We fill up those vases, right? So in the transmutation process, in the neutralizing process, we take an energy like disappointment or fear, right? And we neutralize it. In other words, it no longer has power or control over you. And then we transmute it to love. We bring in that love energy. So that is the release process. That's the dissolving or the neutralizing, and the infusion process is where we bring that back up to love. So we use a lot of different tricks, if you will, because we all carry around this bag of bricks, right? We're all carrying our rocks around with us. And sometimes, we get into relationships with people and we bring our big bag of bricks, right? And we plop it down between us. We're looking at the other person over our bricks, like, okay, this person's going to be different. And then, something happens and they trigger us and we pull a brick out, throw it at them. And then something else happens and they trigger us and we throw another brick at them. Pretty soon they're piled up with bricks and our relationship looks like the last one. It looks like the relationship we had before. Right? And then we go, wait a second, I left this person. But when I left this person, it was Joe and now it's Bob and Bob's doing the same thing Joe did. The common denominator in this situation is us, right? We brought our bag of bricks with us to the relationship. So as you go through the ease and flow energy process, right, you instead of throwing your bricks at other people, you look at your bricks and you go, whew, I don't need that one anymore. Okay, we're gonna ho'oponopono that one. We're gonna take care of that brick. Okay, no more brick. And then we go into our bag and we find the next brick and we go, okay, this brick, ooh, that's ancestral. Okay, we're gonna have help with this one when we take care of that brick, right? We set it off to the side. And all of a sudden our bricks build a beautiful thing. Instead of carrying that bag of bricks around it, we have built this solid, peaceful, easy flowing, comfortable, settled, happy, centered person. And those bricks become the foundation for that solidity. In other words, they give us wisdom, they give us truth, they give us information, but they no longer stand between us and our future. They no longer stand between us and our relationships. Now we can see the other person for who they are and we can share a life with them. It also takes care of the attachment, the codependency, right? So I don't need you to fill me up. I'm here, I'm full, I'm happy. I want you with me as we adventure through life, as we do fun things. I want you with me. So the bag of bricks gets us in time loops. We keep repeating the same thing. We keep restaging the same traumas. Your father was abusive to you. You connect with a man who at first is fine, and then that man becomes abusive to you. You have restaged the same trauma, and then you go, all I ever get is abusive men. What you're carrying with you is that trauma, and you're attracting that energy because emotion is magnetic. So when you have the emotion of it, I'm not worthy of love, I'm only worthy of abuse, you magnetize yourself to that type of person who's going to validate that for you, right? They're going to help you relive that situation over and over and over again. So at that point in time, you have a choice, right? So this bag of bricks that say, I'm not worthy, root chakra, you have this, I want to create a different life, but I don't feel safe to do that. That's root chakra and sacral chakra. I have all this emotion in here, some of which is mine, some of which I inherited. That's sacral chakra, right? So it's swirling around in there. It's interfering with your ability to create the life that you want. I feel powerless. I've given my power away. My power has been taken from me. Given my power away is a more responsible and elevated position to people take my power, because then you become a victim. And when you stay in victim consciousness, then everything else is someone else's fault. And the first step to healing this is take responsibility for your role in every single situation in your life. You have created that situation whether you consciously knew it or not. So each of these emotions, traumas, conflicts, beliefs, do they manifest themselves physically? Yes, absolutely. Do they manifest themselves mentally? Yes. Behaviorally? Absolutely. Addictions, you betcha. Conflicts, yep. And patterns and loops, absolutely. So whether you're talking about mental or physical pain, you are actually acting against your true self. Your true self is confident, comfortable, at peace, connected to a divine source, filled up heart-wise. So many other things that are elements of true self, but that is the core of it. Simple things can create a traumatic imprint, as do large events. little things like when you're in second grade and you get an art assignment and you really want to draw butterflies, and you draw what you believe are the most beautiful butterflies you've ever seen, and you jump, you run up to your teacher's desk and you go, "Teacher, teacher, I drew these beautiful butterflies. I just love them." The teacher goes, "I told you to draw caterpillars. That's not what I asked you to do. Take it back and do it again." Ooh, all of a sudden you're deflated, right? Now your creativity has been challenged, right? Because you didn't meet the assignment. And so now you go, "Well, the teacher told me I don't know how to do this." And you repeat that to yourself over and over again. And then all of a sudden, your beautiful, artistic, creative, excited self is a mopey teenager that should be drawing beautiful butterflies, but isn't because that trauma has stayed there with you. And then there are larger ones. But in all cases, we don't resolve our hurts. We stuff them. We put them in a box, right? We go, "Oh, I don't have time to deal with that. I have too many other things going on." Or we don't have the skills to do that. See, society teaches us how to be hurt, angry, stressed out, frustrated, disappointed, shamed. That's what society teaches us. Teaches us all these low frequency emotions. What ease and flow does is teach you the tools, right, to maintain your energy, maintain your emotion, and then when something happens, to deal with it in a very direct and loving manner. The loss of a loved one is a difficult thing. It is a reality of life. It is something we must endure and undergo. And there's a process of transmuting those energies that come through that into love. Avoidance, numbing, controlling to the point of obsession, rejection to rejecting. Rejection to rejecting is one of my most interesting examples. So people that feel rejected will often create a way for other people to reject them through their behavior. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because that person rejects them. Because the other person likely isn't any more aware than they are of what's going on. If they find someone who is aware of what's going on, so I've experienced this in my own life. Individuals who have felt rejection, and the relationship is going great and everything is fine and we get along well, and then all of a sudden the behavior shifts and it becomes belligerent, becomes accusatory and judgmental. And then I would have responded in sort of 10 years ago, I would have responded with, "Well, they're just rude and disrespectful and mean, and I'm not going to hang around with them anymore." A more aware me today would say, "Huh, I wonder why they're behaving that way. Everything was fine." And you start to analyze it and you start to understand it better. And I began to see it for what it was. They would create situations to be rejected, which then they would go, "See, I'm not worthy of having people around me. Everybody rejects me." And then people are pushed away. They call it the self-fulfilling prophecy. Intense emotional outbursts are strong indicators that there is something at the surface ready to be healed. It doesn't mean it hasn't been there a long time. It could be there for decades. But without the tools, without doing the work, it stays there. It stays there right at the surface. Simple things like kids spill the milk and you have this raging outburst over some spilled milk. Now, I mean, it's milk. Like, wipe it up, everything's good. But for some reason, there is a trauma related to that. When you were a little kid, you spilled some milk, Your father had a raging response. Now spilled milk is a trauma for you. But you're now 30 years old, and you don't remember what happened when you were two, because it's in your conscious and your subconscious, or it's in your unconscious subconscious. And so you you don't know why you're having an outburst because your kid just spilled the milk. You just know that that's what you do. A response is triggered within you. And it can come up with a single word trigger that you don't even know, but being aware that you're responding to it, being aware that you were just triggered, is hugely important. Because you can talk about that trigger response and through the ease and flow energy process, through restructuring and reframing and perception, just shifts in perspective, just little ones. Little shifts in perspective can make a huge difference in like, oh, I didn't know that. Because now that I know that, we can deal with the whatever this inner conflict is, remove those rocks out of your stream, and the water's going to flow a whole lot easier. And the next time something spilled, you go, eh, grab a paper towel, no big deal. We just clean it up. Is it possible to change loops, patterns, responses, and behaviors? Yes, 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 and yes. I am living proof of that. A friend of mine who I've known for about 14 years now has witnessed my change, my transformation. And we were having a conversation about it. And I said, you know, I think that I've changed a lot. And she said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, let's just say that you're far less intense than you used to be. Well, thinking back to where I was 10 years ago, I was angry and judgmental and harsh and ready to fight. Oh, I was ready to fight anybody. It didn't matter. I was going to fight. I was ready to go toe to toe, fist to fist. Let's do this thing. I'm tough. I also was really hard on myself and very harsh and judgmental of myself and others. That's the truth. So now that you know all this, what the heck do you do about it? Well, we have tools. We have ways to work through these things. We have ways to find the rocks, break them up, and allow life to ease and flow for you. Centered, comfortable, confident, at peace. So what I would suggest is one of three things. One is you can begin the journey and the path of learning these things on your own, which is what I did. It took about 10 years. And you can certainly do that. I invite you to do that if that's what you want to do. Second thing is you can join me in the Ease and Flow Energy process through individual consultations, sessions. I would suggest a minimum of 6 sessions to get through the biggest rocks and to learn the tools, because my goal is to teach you enough tools to where you can help yourself on a day-to-day basis, and then you and I work together on the big stuff. And third is, if you are a practitioner, whether you're a naturopath, an energy healer, a Reiki person, is to join me in the class and mentorship. Now, caveat, asterisk, if you're an individual who isn't a practitioner but really wants to know the toolkit, you're very welcome to join the mentorship. This is not limited to people that are working with others, because I know the ripple effect of one person who is doing the work, and healing ripples out to the people that are around them. And that, in the end, is my goal. Is the ripple effect of healing. So quantum frequency therapy, sound therapy, essential oils, all kinds of different options, homeopathics, are all available. And I will talk on those in the Ease and Flow process, whether we do it as a consultation or you do it in the mentorship program. So where do you want to start? Because now is the time to take action. Head over to wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Facebook page. I'm on Instagram, Juliana Denny Sauber. Message me and tell me where you're starting. Because I want to know. I want to celebrate your wins with you. Let's do this thing. Peace out. Have an awesome day. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you want more, you want consultation, you want self-help, healing, you can find me at wholebodyrenewalcenter.com, Whole Body Renewal on Facebook. I am also on Instagram. I look forward to meeting you and helping you along your journey to full empowerment and healing.